שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the sixth day, Tessin, Batamuz, Parshas, Pinchas, Tafshinayin Vav, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 21 July 2016, webcasting from Israel, under attack from within. As I suggested last webcast, as Adam and Eve rebelled in the garden, so the moment Hashem gave Moshe the Ten Commandments, the next verse describes the rebellion down below the building of the golden calf. So this rebellion against Hashem, in general, is oh so human and oh so Jewish. So it happens that some news stories topping the headlines will stay on top for several days, and so has the biblical sexual deviance story this week. Today was the Gay Pride Parade in Jerusalem. Every town must have one. And a top story was the decision by Mayor Ner Barkat not to march with the marchers, with the sodomites and the lesbians. He said the municipality offers them every help and courtesy, but the mayor says he must also respect the wishes of a major part of the city, the seriously religious people, who cannot deal with this affront and offense to the holiness of the city, which is inseparable from the Book of Books that says this type of behavior is an abomination. An interesting word in Hebrew, not so bad in Hebrew as it is in English. In Hebrew, it's toeva, one word, but it can be broken into two syllables. Toe, which means to go wrong, make a mistake, and ba, meaning in it. Abomination in English. In Hebrew, is less grating. It means to go wrong there. You'll make a mistake going there. Homosexuality is really the ultimate Hellenist activity. A generation ago, the Hellenists, like these, would take out personal advertisements in the Village Voice, saying they enjoy Greek culture. And indeed, Aristotle and his pupil Plato praised these unnatural man-boy couplings as just fine. And we all know what happened to that Greek culture. It's gone. Likewise, their imitators, the Romans, 400 years they ruled an empire, but they're gone now. No one speaks Latin, Caesar's Latin. Nobody speaks Aristotle's Greek. We Jews, on the other hand, pick up a Chumash, a five books of Moses in Hebrew, written centuries before the Greeks and the Romans, and we encounter some trouble spots, but otherwise much of the story is understandable to any intelligent 12-year-old Jewish boy here in Israel. And in these five books, sodomy is portrayed as a toeva, or something in a class with, but of a lesser magnitude, as Hamas, the sin that led to the Great Flood. Both led to great destruction. The first situation led to the destruction of the whole world. This just to Sodom and Gomorrah being obliterated. The culture there was obliterated by God. There's a message there that today's enlightened don't want to hear. They dismiss it, as they dismiss the whole Bible, as an old wives' tale, outmoded, old-fashioned, not modern, not progressive. The news today told us of further steps in the being taken in the matter of Rabbi Yigal Levenstein, who is seen by the enlightened as hate-filled for using a word that was common a generation ago, a word not inherently insulting. Statistically speaking, there is a common and normal sexual behavior between males and females in the mammalian kingdom that leads to the creation of the next generation of the species versus sexual activity that has no connection to procreation. That's statistically much lower down. In that situation, the male seed goes to waste. And statistically speaking, this activity deviates from the norm. A sexual deviant deviates from normative activity. That's all it means. And it is that truth that the enlightened cannot bear to hear. They cover their eyes and cover their ears and scream, homophobia, bigotry. It was reported that yesterday, 300 rabbis signed a petition in support of Rabbi Levenstein. Their statement spoke of, quote, love for every man with respect, but that cannot be used to twist the halachic truth to cut corners regarding forbidden deeds. We also reject the attempt to shut the mouths of the rabbis in Israel. How true. Rabbi Levenstein in his yeshiva, in a closed-door session, I think yesterday, asked rhetorically, I can no longer speak the truth? Here, the Torah forbids this. it's now forbidden to say this? Yeah. This is quite an interesting chapter in the endless soap opera of this country. The endless tug of war between Jews who want to live a Jewish life here and Israelis who want to live a Gentile life here. When one looks at the so-called reforms of Reform Judaism, because it's all tied up together here, over the last two centuries, everyone understands that the Reform are de-Judaizing by making their behavior more and more Gentile-like. Reform Judaism is about making Jewishness less Jewish and more Gentile. And there's another facet to the war here against Rabbi Levenstein that's gotten less attention, and that was his criticism of the IDF for not only fostering sodomy, but perfuming itself for its morality, its restraint in the matter of conducting warfare, and the over-concern for killing civilians. His criticism was that the army is coming up short every time it fights now. There have been three rounds of fighting in Gaza since the expulsion 11 years ago, and we never win. And he questions that restraint. I think as well of the case of Elul Adazalia, the Hebron shooter, who's charged with unnecessary killing. That led to that notorious speech on Holocaust Day by Deputy Chief of Staff Yair Golan, who was wagging his finger at the proto-Nazis in Israel for their lack of love for the Palestinians. What I think Rabbi Levenstein was also getting at was the age-old, as old as King Saul, age-old Jewish Achilles heel, which is not that we are too violent, but not violent enough. The Talmud famously tells us that kindness to the cruel can lead to cruelty to the kind. It's the process behind the Purim story in Babylon. That goes all the way back to King Saul and Agag, king of the Amalekites, whom he did not kill, whose spirit descended into the person of Haman. Among our mortal enemies in history, the Romans, the Germans, the Arabs of ISIS, the Turks like Erdogan, the Iranians with their merciless priest rulers. For them, mercy has always been in short supply, sadism in abundance. But for us, our sin is too much mercy. Rabbi Levenstein was asking, why have there been three rounds in Gaza instead of one in which we triumph and defeat the enemy once and for all? Above all, he thinks the IDF has become overly concerned for the death of civilians on the other side, and perhaps too concerned for the loss of men on our side. Now, I do not feel informed enough to judge such matters, but I can easily support the idea of restraint. Frequently, critics like the rabbi, I think, suffer from too much one-dimensional assessment, precisely because our mortal enemies are our mortal enemies. They create difficult situations for us that are not easily solvable. There are maybe 1.5 million people in the rectangle, Gaza, who are infested in every street with armed thugs, and to get at them, the thugs, is to defeat all of Gaza, and that could mean massive destruction, on a par with Hiroshima. Our enemies create great problems for us. And not to forget who has been in the White House these last 8 years. A shameless Jew hater, whose greatest success has been giving America's and Israel's most dangerous enemy, Iran, $150 billion in the go-ahead to build atomic bombs. Overall, though, what with the so-called gay pride parade in Jerusalem today, of all places, that remained the top story in the MSM, along with the rage expressed at Rabbi Levenstein, that's still going, the hatred and the venom at him, and most disconcerting, the threat of Stalinist mind policing. The army was reported to have decided that the rabbi will no longer be allowed to speak to soldiers on army bases until he apologizes. He has to apologize, using the term sote min, and by implication, expresses implicit his apology, contrition, for having remained faithful to the Torah Sinai. He has to apologize for holding fast to Jewish morality, says the army. The morality that for thousands of years kept this people alive. Very different from Gentile morality, Greco-Roman morality for sure. I find this facet of this controversy most puzzling. Differ with the enlightened in the matter of this behavior, and they rage and demand the outlawing of your opinion. which is just Jewish opinion throughout the ages. The rage and the menace, what motivates them?
עבור הגיעך אל אלי שנים חמישים בעולמך אמרה אשמח אמרה אשמח בעבור הגיעך אל אלי שנים חמישים בעולמך אמרה אשמח אמרה אשמח בעבור הגיעך אל אלי שנים חמישים בעולמך לא ידע ולא ידע ולא ידע כי אין חלוקה בעיניי בימותיי אשר עברו ובינות ימי נוח השש מאה בימותיי אשר עברו ובינות ימי נוח אשר יש מאה אין לי בעולם אין לי בעולם אין לי בעולם לבד שאני בא אין לי בעולם אין לי בעולם אין לי בעולם לבד שאני בא להתעמוד להתעמוד כרגע ואחר כן כעם נשא אל אלי שנים חמישים בעולמך אמרה אשמח אמרה אשמח הבא עבור הגיעך אל אלי שנים חמישים בעולמך אמרה אשמח אמרה אשמח הבא עבור הגיעך אל אלי שנים חמישים בעולמך ולא ידע לא ידע ולא ידע כי אין חלוקה בעיניי בין ימותיי אשר עברו ובינות ימי נוח אשר שמעה בין ימותיי אשר עברו ובינות ימי נוח אשר שמעה תעמוד כרגע ואחר כן כעב נשא
Now, in a news story related to the foregoing, in that it's about the enlightened, Galitzal, the army radio station, which is one of the two big ones in Israel, recently did a broadcast on the life and poetry of Mahmoud Darwish. He's an Arab enemy of Israel because he was a poet. The artists of the left here assumed he was enlightened and there was truth in his bitterness at what happened to his ancient people, the Palestinians. Well, listeners and defense minister Avigdor Lieberman, whose authority is ultimate when it comes to this station, were irate because the guy they devoted the program to was an open, glatt kosher, full-blown hater of Israel. When the station presented him as part of Israel's cultural heritage, as a poet, because he was born here, I guess, he makes a brief appearance in my book. Darwish was born in the Galilee in 1941, and as a seven-year-old with his family in 1948, fled the fighting to Lebanon. Later, though, Israel let his family return, and he grew up in Haifa and became a journalist and a communist, writing for the communist newspaper there in Arabic. In 1970, he left the country to study in Moscow, principal backer of the PFLP in those days. And then he went on to live in Egypt and then to Lebanon, but Israel never let him back into the country for his affiliation in this period with the PLO groups, at the same time that he wrote his hate-filled anti-Israel journalistic pieces and poetry. Because he was a communist, the Israeli left presumed he knew that not all Israelis were racist, fascist, imperialists, like those on the right and the religious. But then, in the first Intifada, he wrote a poem in which he said he wanted all Israelis to get out. No two-state solution man he was. When the poem was published, the Israeli left here was devastated, like a jilted lover. Well, Galei Tzahal and Doyle Mon Israeli Culture, as I understand it, included him in the series. And the Ministress of Culture, Miri Regev, was outraged, and Defense Minister Lieberman, lots of people were. Lieberman called in the head of the radio, Yaron Dekel, veteran journalist. He was summoned to Lieberman's office to explain the decision to do that. And it's all just another example of the daily war against the Israeli collective, the Jewish collective. Anything that reinforces Jewish identity, apart from the non-Jewish, makes the enlightened snarl and grit their teeth. They want Israel to be more inclusive. These Jews are so cliquish and clannish, you know. It's another example of the IDF's penchant for parading its non-chauvinist respect for the other, led by leftists. Moshe Dayan was like that. We saw that behavior in Yair Golan on Holocaust Remembrance Day, whose message was Jews are also capable of being Nazis, toward the victims of Zionism, the ancient ones. Now, for years I have squirmed in the morning, listening on the radio to the lead political host, Razi Balkai, on Galei Tzahal, who likes to interview the likes of Yossi Beilin and Zahava Galon, and never mind Beilin's, in particular, proven stupidity about the Arabs. And when things heat up, like during Intifada number 2, Barkai was forever interviewing Arab terrorist leaders on the phone in a tone of respect and as if they were just another sector of Israeli society with a grievance. Imagine if it had been possible technologically during World War II for the BBC some morning, a host could pick up the phone and speak to the high command in Berlin and ask respectfully what they thought the best thing to do was to end the conflict. Imagine that happening during the Blitz. I found the behavior, this behavior of Razi Barkai, functionally treasonous. But Israelis, especially enlightened, see nothing wrong with it. Because, you know, the Arabs do have a case. Israel's record has not been spotless. They are the victims of occupation, and so on and so forth. Even ex-Defense Minister Bogi Yalon got into the act. He jumped in to criticize Lieberman for calling in Yaron Dekel to explain the airing of this offensive program. Yalon sneered that the right wants to turn Galei Tzahal into Pravda, broadcasting the official truth. In other words, it's against freedom of speech. This is another example of the Jewish people's Achilles heel, this constant compulsion to empathize with others, and in effect deny one's own identity. Leftists like Bogi Yalon are Zionists, no doubt, but they also feel guilty for having hurt the indigenous Arab population. Israelis like him, non-religious, are also constitutionally most uncomfortable with the reality that the bottom line of the Zionist claim, and they are Zionists to this land, is religious. The contradiction for Israelis like Yalon makes them uncomfortable. At some level of awareness, they experience the dissonance between their self-image as anti-religious and modern and progressive, and their patriotism, which is rooted in the religion they don't believe in. I've never forgotten a conversation with a 19-year-old Israeli soldier over half a century ago. Idealistic and ardent Zionist, he nonetheless told me he felt uncomfortable with that because internationalism trumps nationalism. You know, the old communist fantasy of the international brotherhood of man, of the proletariat, the propertyless workers. Still, he told me he could not help himself. He was an idealist, he was a patriot, he was a Zionist, but it still bugged him. This is the recoil that post-Jewish Israelis feel when faced with being a people that dwells alone for not going along with the international consensus. I believe that the Oslo insanity itself was a reaction to the horror in men like Rabin and Peres after the U.S. recognized the PLO in 1988. At that point, Israel became the only serious state in the world not to have recognized the PLO as a legitimate political movement with a legitimate narrative of injustice done to the putatively Paleolithic Palestinians. Israel was never so alone. And this drove Rabin and Peres, I think, crazy. For the whole purpose of Zionism for them was to become, in Netanyahu's words, a people with a place among the nations. And here we were, a people dwelling alone. I remember leftist friends when the Oslo abomination kicked in. They were teary-eyed with the prospect of finally having peace with the Arabs and no longer being shut out from the family of nations, no longer being despised for Israel's abuse of an authentic dispossessed landlords of Palestine.
עוד כביש, עוד הליכה קצרה אל תוך הלילה, עוד ביש ועוד מזל גדול כזה מלמעלה. נוחיש, אחי צריך למצוא מקום לישון הלילה. עוד איש, עוד מטורף מחכה למשיח. נוחיש, נעשה דרך החלון, אולי תצליח. קיר עוד קיר ועוד מחיצה קלה, עוד קצת חושך, אין איש כאן, כולם הלכו לישון כבר עוד קודם. נוחיש כבר, אחי צריך למצוא מקום לישון הלילה. עוד שיר, עוד הזיה על גיבור עם כנפיים. נוחיש כבר, טפס אל החלון, נעשה בשתי ידיים. לילה טוב, זאת לא מילה גסה יותר, אז לילה טוב ונדבר מחר. אז לילה טוב ונדבר מחר. ואיך זה נוגע לך בינתיים? נוחיש כבר, ונתפסו את מקומך הלילה. עוד איש רוקד מול רמזור עם הרחוב מתבדח. תגיד רבנו, אולי אתה יודע איך אפשר להיות שמח? אז לילה טוב, משוגע זאת לא מילה גסה יותר, אז משוגע זאת לא מילה גסה יותר, אז לילה טוב ונדבר מחר.
אז לילה טוב ונדבר מחר.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Speaking before of the holy isolation of this kingdom of priests that Israel strives to be but is forever hobbled from within by the enlightened who just want to be normal, J-Post today reported on yet another document in the making by the foreign policy staff in Brussels and the EU. This one meant to serve as a guideline for EU agencies dealing with Israel. This document's first draft was completed at the end of 2015. After some 2-3 months of the knife intifada, about 40 people have since then been murdered here. And the explanation for this latest wave in Jew killing, according to the EU, that has offices in Jerusalem and Ramallah, is the occupation. The EU concluded last December that the recent spate of this latest round of Jew killing was the occupation. And the loss of hope in the two-state solution. This form, quote, the psychological roots of the terrorism. The occupation was also responsible for higher levels of drug abuse among the ancient ones, is responsible for domestic violence in families. Get this, loss of cultural identity and high levels of stress and depression, close quote. Yeah, one can just imagine how just a few weeks ago, 17-year-old Mohammed in Hebron woke up one morning and said, I've lost my hope in the two-state solution. I've lost my cultural identity. So he decided to take action by grabbing a kitchen knife and sneaking into a sleeping Jewish girl's bedroom to knife her to death. The EU document predictably used the expression both sides were guilty of inflammatory rhetoric. And get this, Jewish archaeological digs are meant to denigrate Palestinian historical links to Jerusalem, close quote. That last phrase is the clincher for me that the author or authors of this EU document are just old-fashioned bona fide anti-Semites whose minds percolate with delusions of Jewish evil deeds and desires. What this last expression suggests is that Israel finances archaeological digs in order to denigrate the Palestinian connection to Jerusalem. And never mind, there's no such thing. This accusation is fanciful. As fanciful as the medieval charge of Jews poisoning wells and murdering Gentiles for their blood. Where does this EU bureaucrat get the idea that what motivates Israeli archaeological projects is this dishonest attempt to destroy evidence of a Palestinian heritage in Jerusalem? I know where that comes from. It comes from the feverish swamps of the Arabs here who tell EU bureaucrats that this is what the Jews are up to. And the bureaucrats believe them. And what the accusation commonly stems from is the Arab propensity to psychological projection. It was the Arabs who spent much money on destroying the Temple Mount, carting away truckloads of dirt containing who knows how many artifacts of Jewish life on the Temple Mount over thousands of years. We also read about at the end of last week another EU document being given to UNESCO, which is drafting yet another text denying the Jewish connection to Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. I hope you all realize that this is like a cousin of Holocaust denial. Forming before our very eyes, Holocaust denial took off in the lunatic late 1960s, about a quarter century after the end of World War II, and here is a new version of the same mental pathology, the denial of history. There's no difference between Holocaust denial and what UNESCO is up to now, denying the connection between the Jewish people and the Temple Mount. And what adds to the sadness is the insensate silence of the Western democracies, whose basis is Christianity, whose scripture mentions the temple over 100 times. Not only is UNESCO trashing Judaism, it's trashing Christianity, with not a peep out of today's Christians or post-Christians. Where's the Pope? Where is the Archbishop of Canterbury? Where are the directors of the National Gallery in London, where El Greco's painting of Jesus and the money changers hangs? Where's the government in Spain, who claim El Greco as one of their own? Where's the government in Athens, who claim him as a native Greek? Macaulay Shon last week also reported on the latest tactic anti-Israel NGOs are using in Israel, funded, of course, by anti-Jew Jews abroad and anti-Jew Goyim abroad. What they're doing is filing hundreds of lawsuits in Israeli courts alleging Israeli injustice to some ancient Palestinian with the purpose of collapsing the legal system, swamping it with cases, which will impact all cases, regardless of subject matter. The war against the Jews, aided and abetted by Jews, never ends.
שלום עליכם על הרשר את מלאכי עליון ממלך מלכי המלאכים הקדוש ברוך הוא שלום עליכם על הרשר את מלאכי עליון ממלך מלכי המלאכים הקדוש ברוך הוא
שלום עליכם על הרשר את מלאכי עליון היי לה 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 מלך מלכי המלכים היי נה 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 הקדוש ברוך הוא
בואכם לשלום מלכי השלום מלכי עליון מלך מלכי המלכים הקדוש ברוך הוא בואכם לשלום מלכי השלום מלכי עליון מלך מלכי המלכים הקדוש ברוך הוא
בואכם לשלום מלכי השלום מלכי עליון היי נה 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 na 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 ya kadosh baruch hu
ni le shalom alech shalom malach elyon melech malchei amlachim ha kadosh baruch hu ni le shalom alech shalom malach elyon melech malchei amlachim ha kadosh baruch
hu ni le shalom alech shalom malach elyon ay la 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 na 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 היי נה 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 הקדוש ברוך הוא
בצאתכם לשלום מלאכי השלום מלאכי עליון עם מלך מלכי המלאכים הקדוש ברוך הוא בצאתכם לשלום מלאכי השלום מלאכי עליון עם מלך מלכי המלאכים הקדוש ברוך הוא
בצאתכם לשלום מלאכי השלום מלאכי עליון היי נה 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 מיהי מלך מלכי המלכים היי לה 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 הקדוש ברוך הוא
Okay, that's it for this week and Sunday, no webcast. It's the delayed fast of the 17th of Tammuz, when we remember the besieging of Jerusalem thousands of years ago. So I'll be back, God willing, on Tuesday Have an easy fast, Tzom Kal. Until then, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Eretz Yisrael.